you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Kerry King from Slayer, and you're watching Talking Metal on Fuse.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. As a listener of the Talking Metal podcast, enter METAL2, that's METAL2, when you check out, and you will save an additional 10% on any order. Some restrictions may apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com, official sponsor of the Talking Metal podcast.
Rock over London,
Zurich,
Auckland,
Dublin,
Dallas,
Milwaukee,
Los Angeles,
Sydney,
Indianapolis,
Tokyo,
Seattle,
Paris,
Budapest,
Berlin,
New York. Ladies and gentlemen, two men who are committed to rocking you wherever you might be, John Astronomy and Mark Striegel. Welcome to the Talking Metal podcast, broadcasting around the world from TalkingMetal.com and Striegel'sMusicNews.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the historic 200th episode of Talking Metal. A big Talking Metal toast.
Did you hear that?
Very good.
We are rocking out Talking Metal style, Midtown Manhattan.
That's right.
At Bionic Studios, the greatest recording studio in New York City.
That's correct. And you are listening to the greatest podcast in the world, period.
All time.
Of all time.
Period. Not comma, period.
We started this many years ago in 2005, I think August of 2005, with CC Banana stopping
First
by.
Guest.
Yeah. And now we have gotten to the point where we are having major, major stars like Ozzy Osbourne on the podcast. He will be on today's podcast. This is the second time he'll be appearing on the podcast.
Absolutely. Ozzy Osbourne has been on our podcast a while back. We did a great interview in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going national with Talking Metal.
Yeah, national. Yeah.
We started out in Jersey City, New Jersey, but now we're going national.
Yeah, that's right. This Ozzy interview took place at the Mohegan Sun up in Connecticut back in January. And we had seen him a few weeks before this at the Garden, and we
Absolutely.
Took a drive up there and did an interview with him for the Talking Metal on Fuse TV show. They have allowed us to broadcast it to you here as promotion, so be sure to tune in to Talking Metal on Fuse to catch Ozzy Osbourne and Kerry King on Fuse, on Talking
Absolutely.
Metal.
Absolutely, and we are going to bring both of those uncut interviews, and we say uncut. We mean uncut. We're going to play the tape from the start to the finish, including Ozzy's famous exit.
And let's set this up. That Fuse producers had actually suggested that we bring our guitars. This
right.
is a little behind-the-scenes look at what happened. Because they loved so much what happened with Dave Mustaine and you
right.
at the Dave Mustaine interview where you guys started playing. So we had actually brought our guitars, and we're going to play Crazy Train. They wanted us to just pull the guitars out and play Crazy Train. And we never got that far because Ozzy kind of like, he was very anxious that night, and it was before he played. And I kind of was gearing up to throw some more questions at him. And I said, I know you got a show to do. And I was about to say, but I want to ask you a couple questions about some obscure Black Sabbath songs. And I didn't even get the whole sentence out. I said, I know you have a show to do. And he's like, you're right. Take care. Yeah. And he got up and he ran out.
He was very polite, though, because after he said that, he shook both of our hands and left.
Yeah, right. But so it was obvious to me that I wasn't about to say, Ozzy, I still have more questions. And by the way, we want to serenade you with our rendition of Crazy Train,
which we had rehearsed like 50 times in the dressing room. Yeah.
And I don't think he would have been in a mood to hear us play
you
that.
You know what it was? Is that it wasn't...
Because in Vegas, he was like so relaxed. Yeah. In Connecticut, he was a little more tense, very nice still,
very nice, you know,
and laughing with us and having a good time, but not quite as relaxed as he had been in Vegas.
You know what it was that Ozzy was very, very sick. I could tell he had a bad cold, and he was just gearing up for the show, and who knows what was going on in the Ozzy camp. You know, it's very hard to put on one of these major rock concerts, so Ozzy was nice enough to take the time out to hook up with Talking Metal on Fuse and then go do an Ozzy Osbourne concert. So we were thankful for that, and it made for some really fun television and now podcast.
Yeah, definitely. And a big thanks to the people over at Fuse for allowing us to air this. Check out fuse.tv/talking metal. I love the section, the video section there, where you can get, you know, the clips that didn't make the shows from the from the interviews, and you can get the jams
without talking.
And for the most part, most of them are uncut.
Uncut, yeah. So anyway, we just want to thank you guys for this, because you know what I wanted to do, Mark? I wanted to pull up, and I don't know if we have the technology to do this, but I just wanted to start reading some of the names from the Talking Metal forums, because you and everybody, even if
you we have the technology.
I'm not sure if we have the technology to do. Do we?
Dude, I got a computer sitting
okay,
right
pull
in
it
front
up, right? I wasn't sure. You know, I want to thank all of the people that made this possible. I want to thank the artists that came on Talking Metal. I want to thank Fuse. But most importantly, I want to thank you listeners of Talking Metal. And this comes from... I'm not one with words, but this comes from the bottom of my heart. And you guys, you've made this all possible. And let's rattle off some of these names,
Yeah,
Mark.
Definitely. This comes from TalkingMetalForums.com. We got the Planet Smashers. There's only four of them. Z-Man.
Z-Man, you are unbelievable.
We have Mo Joel coming
Mo
in
Joel,
second.
Mo Joel, unbelievable.
Z-Man has 2,426 posts, by the way.
I have like less than 500 posts, and I'm like... the guy from Talking Metal, and Z-Man is insane, and so is Mo Joel. Any of these planets, Mo Joel,
in second place. Metalhead 91, also
unbelievable.
A planet.
Metalhead 91 is the guy with the cool George Bush with the metal sign.
Yeah, I love that sign.
Yeah. I love it.
We got Ollie at number four, also a planet smasher. He is constantly defending the one and only Axel on
Axel
the forums.
Ollie. Very good.
He takes no. You know what, from Drop D.
Ollie, you are cool too. And we love Drop D, but don't take any you know what from him.
Yeah. I'm in number five. I'm not
a planet smasher.
I am, I guess, considered a moderator. We have Exciter, Emperor of the Effin' Moon.
John Cosimano, not Rachel Ray's husband.
And don't worry, guys. We'll start cursing again.
John Cosimano was the dude that started the Talking Metal forums. One of the coolest people. I've hung out with him in Baltimore. I've hung out with him in New York City multiple times. He is very, very cool.
Definitely. I said four Planet Smashers. It's actually five. The fifth is Aaron_W.
Aaron W. Rock on.
Yeah. Always posting Aaron. Aaron's a great guy. We got Arrow Guns coming in with 759 posts.
I love that name, Arrow
Guns.
He's
a certified metalhead.
He's like Aerosmith meets Guns N' Roses. And by the way, I'm eating a Swedish fish because I love Swedish fish.
Drop D, the
I love
guy
him, man.
Who's always
stirring up trouble
in the Guns N' Roses section there.
We love Drop D too, and we're just kidding around.
Ranch on Mars, Sergeant Politeness, True Metalhead 666, Rackham 1207, Premonition, Astronomy, Bert Gabriel, right next to Astronomy, Biker Chick from Texas, Hideous.
Unbelievable.
Hideous sometimes is a little controversial.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. We need some controversy on the forums because
that True Metalhead 666 is too.
Really?
Yeah, he stirs things up.
I love it. Hey, True Metalhead 666, you're cool.
He's
Hideous,
all about
you're cool.
The true metal.
Hideous is in a band. We played some of his music on Talking Metal.
Metal Gal Forever.
Forever. I like that we got Metal Gal Forever and Biker Chick from Texas.
Of course, Jared. Jared Matthews, who's a big part of Talking Metal.
Top guy.
Worg Rider.
Love that name. I always thought that was a cool handle.
Jayhawk.
Jayhawk Jason.
Good friend. There's Jayhawk followed by Jay, who's a good friend who came into town and actually stopped by Bionic when he was here. Mooch. Shotaholic.
Shotaholic, very cool.
Pizza Man. I guess he's back to Pizza Man.
Pizza Man?
He was Pizza Man, then Customer Service Man. Now he's back to Pizza Man.
We have Metal Piano Man. Where's Metal Piano Man?
Oh, I don't know. I don't see
I think that's the name, Metal Piano Man. Unless I'm pronouncing it wrong. But
I don't know.
I got a personal email from him.
ATLGALUB.
Oh, I always pronounce that Alt-Glub, but it's probably some Alt-Glaub or something like that.
Slade Desire.
Yeah, good name. Good name. Cool dude.
Lutziga.
That's Dan
from Chicago.
Dalutzka. Dalutzka.
Overkill 1988. Redbeard, I believe, is one of the guys from Swashbuckle, actually. Could that be right? Redbeard? No.
Yeah, I think that is the guy from Swashbuckle.
No, that's not the guy from Swashbuckle. That's Admiral Nobeard registered as. I don't know who Redbeard is. The guy from Swashbuckle doesn't post that often. He stops by like once a month. But Redbeard is a main poster. Yellowfin, who is the guy from Overloaded.
Right. Eric?
Love, yeah.
And not to be confused with Yellowfin Tuna. That's a sushi.
And you guys can check this out for yourself. Just go to Talking Metal Forums.
I want to thank all of you guys. All the people that are on the forums, even if we didn't mention your name, man, you guys rule. And I personally want to thank you because I'm not even kidding. I changed my entire life because of you guys. Mark and I started this. And then the next thing you know, my life got consumed by Talking Metal. And here we are now, 200 episodes later. Fuse TV series under our belts, and we couldn't have done it without you. So thank you.
Honestly, guys, thanks for sticking with us. And we're going to actually get right into this Ozzy Osbourne interview. But first, guys, you have to register your podcast through GoDaddy. GoDaddy is back as a sponsor on the 200th episode.
Where's the copy?
Where is it?
I forgot to print it out.
But before we get into that, a very important bit of info for you guys. They're back.
GoDaddy.com.
That's right. We are psyched, man. GoDaddy, who was a major sponsor for us last year, is back for some more sponsorship of the number one most listened to heavy metal hard rock podcast, Talking Metal.
By the way, Mark, I got to tell you a major announcement that I just found out today.
What's that?
You know how many hits we had to our website in March?
No.
3.5 million.
Wow.
Million.
That's not
hits.
Downloads of the podcast. That's,
no, that's hits
to the hits website.
To the website. 3.5 million hits.
Million
hits.
Anyways, guys, let's show GoDaddy the Talking Metalhead Army. Let's all go to talkingmetal.com and click through those links.
Plus, as a listener of the Talking Metal podcast, enter code METAL2. That's METAL2 when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Some restrictions do apply. See site for details and get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. We actually have some other codes too, Mark.
Enter code METAL1. That's METAL1, METAL1, and get your .com domain name for just $6.95 a year. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we've got another code for you, and that is METAL3. That's METAL3, and save an additional $5. That's five entire dollars off of any order over $30 or more. Once again, some restrictions apply. See site for details and get your piece of the internet at our favorite site, GoDaddy.com, with the exception of TalkingMetal.com and Fuse.tv.
Yeah. But seriously, guys, we'll move right on into the Ozzy interview. But do us a favor, if you or anybody you know needs to secure a domain name, do it using one of those codes or do it by going to TalkingMetal.com and clicking through to GoDaddy.com using those banners. Thank you. This is Ozzy Osbourne on tour for Black Rain right before his show in Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun. What is it, Mystic, Connecticut up there or something?
It's near Mystic, which is a place that I actually performed once back in the mid-80s. I'm not even kidding. I performed there one time. I didn't even tell you about that. The Mohegan Sun Casino is such an amazing
facility.
It's like
new. I mean, it seems real new. Yeah.
Really, really nice.
On an Indian reservation. A beautiful facility.
Why don't we get into a little Ozzy music before the interview, and then we'll come out with some more Ozzy music.
Cool. This is per John's request, Rock and Roll Rebel off Bark at the Moon
by Ozzy Osbourne.
Use the links in today's show notes to purchase this track on iTunes.
So, Ozzy, we recently hooked up with Zach. We did a little jamming, and during a break, he told us about a story that happened in Prague. You guys were talking a little bit about Keith Moon, John Bonham. Something happened. Can you tell us about it?
We were both drunk. It was a long time ago. And I'd never thrown a TV out the window, so we did that.
That's amazing. How did you do it? Like, was it hard to throw it?
No, I didn't throw it through. I just... But I couldn't open the window, so I pushed the window open. So it's one of the things I can add to the list.
That's great.
Ozzy, one of my favorite things as a kid was the US Festival, 1983. Yeah. And it was just, has become such a historic moment in heavy metal history. And I wanted to ask you about your memories of playing that festival.
My wife had got me this fucking Zulu suit thing. The bone through, I don't know, I can't. But the one thing that was bad about that was there were so many people and not adequate enough toilets or drinking water, and that's always been my thing with the Ozfest, because to stand out in that weather all day long, that was a desert.
Right.
I mean, it's people are killed there, people got run over, people got disappeared, and it's like it was done pretty well. But I remember the one thing that sticks out in my mind. The first day it was a country western thing, Willie Nelson and all that. Then it was heavy metal or whatever you call it. The day after it was kind of David Bowie and whatever. And Van Halen had they were headlining, and they had a clause in their contract. I don't know what the word is, but that no one on the event could have a higher salary than they. They've got to be compatible. So Bowie got $1 million. And so did Van Halen.
Right.
The thing was, I thought, you got $1 million. They were all smashed a bit, which is, I would at least try and do a $5 show.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, but I've done that, it's done this, not just now, But at that time, it was an awful lot of money to get, to be number one. Dave Lee Roth was out of it, But, hey, I'm not slagging him. I mean, I've done bad things, like worse things, I'm not an angel.
Right. Now, a lot of people, when they think of you, they always think of guitar players and, of course, Randy Rhoads, Zakk Wylde. But speaking of the US Festival, that was kind of an introduction, for me at least, to Jake E. Lee.
Jake E. Lee was a good guitar player. Jake was a harmless guy. He was very to himself. In actual fact, as playing guitar, he was into messing around with old cars and things.
Oh yeah. Was he blind? Legally blind? I heard he had poor eyesight.
Wasn't blind.
No.
Now, Ozzy, I consider Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman the Bible for what I consider heavy metal music. And Randy was such a huge influence on me as a guitar player. And I remember the After Hours video, the performance. Do you have any other video with Randy? Wow, no. So that is it.
Unfortunately, Dear Old Randy was like, we were just doing that first and second tour with the, because we did the first two albums, I can remember, like, virtually simultaneously. We did one, went out on an exploratorial thing in England, came back and did another one. And it was like, they hadn't released it in America yet then, so it was great because we could go out and carry on going out, you know. We just have a short break and go back out again. And we had so much fun. I mean, in both Black Sabbath and my own career, solo career, the early days are always the best because, you know, you got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So you just go, it's just like a party every night, you know. But good, you know, pranks and things. And Randy was very funny at some time. One of the things, he didn't drink much. He drank, what is it, I can't remember, anisette or something. And he didn't drink it all the time, like us. But when he'd have a drink, or he'd have his little pig nose amplifier. And he'd go to, I remember one time in Canada, and there was a guy playing a piano in the bar. And it was all classical stuff. And then Randy goes, he whispers in his ear and he asks him if he can go and get a guitar and play with him.
Wow.
So the guy goes, sure. So he comes out with his little pig nose and he starts playing his white Les Paul, I think. And he's doing all the guy's like, wow, you know what you're doing, you know.
Right, because he
but
was
then he starts like doing all these shapes and rock and roll shapes. Hysterical. I mean, I still can't believe he's gone, to be honest with you.
Did you think that those albums and his playing were going to have such a huge impact on metal? And
well, you know what? You know what? It's like, it's such a long time ago, and it was, people say to me, what's your best ever album? And I go, I haven't made it yet. Because if I say it was Blizzard of Oz, Diver, and then Bark at the Moon, and so on, that means to say to me that every album I've done after that wasn't any good.
Right.
So for my own sake, I'm always striving, you know. And it was just a fun period in my life. You know, it's kind of like every emotion, like devastation. My father dies. Black Sabbath boot me out. I find Randy Rhoads. I think he's going to go work. Then my wife divorces me. And it was like that all for a few years. And when Randy got killed, I remember saying to Sharon, I'm out of here. I can't take this shit anymore. And so she goes, no, you're not. And she goes, you know, Randy wouldn't have wanted that, you know.
Right.
But Kevin DeRoe just passed away as well.
I know, yeah. We can't believe that, man.
I don't know much about Kevin DeRoe. I know of him, and I've heard him sing. He had a great voice. Great range, he had.
So, Ozzy, we recently spoke with Tony Iommi, and he was telling us about when you guys were in Black Sabbath back in the 70s, hanging out with Led Zeppelin, and how you guys were friends, and maybe even he suggested that he remembered jamming Black Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
And Led Zeppelin jamming
We
together.
Were down at Morgan Studios in Wilson, and it was when they had that own label, and they were trying. We just left our manager and label, and John Paul Jones, John Bonham, and Robert Plant came down to trying to coax us to sign up with them. You know,
wow.
And we all jammed in the studio. Then I became, I was quite a good friend with John Bonham. You know?
Sure.
And it was Tad when he died. It was, but to be honest with you, he could drink, man.
Yeah.
I mean, when I look back now, he was like 32 years old when he died. And I'm thinking, there's nothing. But his son, he's a great drummer. I mean, I remember going to his house one day, and I assumed that he was playing the tapes of his session with Zeppelin, the drum track, you know. And I'm going to take on it. He's in another room, and then he goes, hold on a minute. So he goes in the room, he goes, no, foot first, cymbal after. What the hell is he talking to? And he goes, I said, who's that? He goes, have a look. And Jason couldn't have been more than five, and he would have knocked anybody's socks off at that age,
man,
you know.
Even at that young age.
He was phenomenal.
And
he still is a great drummer.
They did these reunion, the one reunion concert with Jason in England. Do you think they should do a tour?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I'm not their manager.
Get them on Ozfest, maybe?
No. I mean, the inquiries for that gig would bring up in the millions, you know.
Yeah.
Even the average ticket price for anyone who was there was like a couple $100,000, I think. $15,000 or $100,000.
What about Ozfest 2008? Is it in the works?
You have to speak to my mentor about that.
Yeah.
Because she comes up with these ideas, and I go, oh yeah. And then the next day, it's changed again. So, I get my head in a vice because it's like, I don't know what she's going to do.
Right.
I want to make another record, not as long as it took this one, you know, Down to Earth, and this one's 6 years. I didn't realize it was that long.
Cool.
So, Ozzy, you've been with Zach now for roughly about 20 years. What makes your relationship so strong with him?
He's loyal. I've watched this guy come from being a tall, skinny guy with a dream that he wanted, and I've always said to people, you know. If you have a dream and you really want it to happen, just keep going at it because eventually you'll get some success. And I watch this Zach grow into this monster, you know. I mean, he's not... The Zach that joined me is nowhere near what the Zach is. You know, he's progressed in just so many ways.
Right.
He's great. He's a good guy to have on your side as well, you know.
Definitely.
Very respectful.
Yeah, he seems very loyal, and I know you're the godfather of one of his kids, right?
Yeah, Jesse. Yeah, he was.
Absolutely.
So, Ozzy, recently got the Masters of War record by Mountain.
Yep.
And you're singing on it.
Yep.
And you've had a long history with Leslie West, right?
Well, Leslie West was the first guy to ever give me cocaine.
Oh, really?
And I say, he goes, oh, I don't know where that's going, but I remember it was him back in the day. But he was, when Mountie was going, way back when, we came from England, Black Sabbath, and we didn't, every English band was, dream was to get to the US. You know, and when we got here, and we were opening up for Mountie, fucks all my ass, you know. It was like we sort of kind of was like a step up. They had all the gear, the jewelry, the hats, the
right.
clothes, and a private plane and whatever. And we thought, fucking hell, this is great, you know. But yeah, I've always respected him as a player. Randy was one of his best players,
wow.
favorite players. Is it? And that's the thing with back then. It was all that finger tapping stuff,
right.
And. I can appreciate that, but what Randy Rhoads would do would mix it all in, you know. A solo on the first album on side two, it was like an interesting piece of music that he did. But I don't believe he would have been doing rock and roll much anymore. He wanted to get a degree in classical music. He wanted to quit. On that last journey, if I remember right, from Knoxville, Tennessee to Florida, he said, I'm thinking about quitting rock. I said, what? He said, I want to go to UCLA and get a classical. Because every town he would look in the yellow pages and get a classical teacher to come around and give him a lesson.
Right.
I'm going, why don't you take a day off? And he was just passionate about it, you know. But unfortunately,
wow.
somebody else wanted him, you know.
Right.
And he did not abuse drugs, booze. He smoked. The guy was dedicated to his art and craft, you know.
Did you speak with his mother at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I don't see her as much as I should have her because she's getting older now.
Yeah.
It was a few years ago when I got the Rock and Roll Hall of... Not Rock and Roll. One of the award things.
The Walk, the Rock and Roll Walk or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was there, yeah. And I always get sad, you know. Sharon,
yeah, sure.
My wife... just feels terrible because it must be the hardest thing for any parent to lose their child.
Yeah.
And I think Sharon feels a bit, you know, she still hasn't got over it properly, I don't think.
How are the dogs?
Which ones?
All of them. Do you get any new ones recently?
Oh, yeah, I got a bulldog.
Bulldog?
Yeah. I mean, Kelly, I mean, I got... It's Christmas Day. She goes, do you want your Christmas present, Dad? Oh, yeah, and a fucking dog.
All right.
I can't go another bag of shit to clean up, you know? And you can't go, oh, you fucking idiot. You know, I don't want him. I'll soon fall in love. I love dogs.
Do you know how many you have right now?
Minnie, Maggie, Lola, Martin, Rubers. But 11.
Wow. We just got a golden retriever puppy.
Great dogs.
Yeah.
I got one in England. He's so clever.
And we actually named him in your honor. His name's Ozzy.
Oh, thanks. So that fucking dog named after me. It could be like a... But, I feel really happy though.
Yeah. So when that's our Christmas
shit,
card.
Go, oh, that Ozzy.
Oh, well, we love Ozzy, and we love Ozzy the dog. He's awesome, and welcome.
Can he sing?
He can't sing.
I can cut my leg at the wall. Yeah.
So, Ozzy, I heard that you just got a cell phone for the first time. Is that true?
Yeah, but I go, oh, this is magic, you know? And it's like, it's what amazed me. I first had one when I first came out in the car, you know? It's like a fucking shoe.
Like a giant thing, right?
And a backpack, you know? And it was like, I'm posing around London with this fucking phone. Now it's like, what would you like for dinner? I don't understand how I can pack all that information. It's just such a small thing. But I've got one because my dyslexia is so fucking bad, I can't read it. I'll take a number down and I'll go, what the fuck was I writing when I go back to it? So it's all programmed into my phone.
How's Jack doing? The last time we hooked up with you, you said that he thought he was RoboCop because he was doing that police reality show. What's he up to now?
He's started a production company, and I don't really know, but he's a really good guy, Jack. He don't just sit on his thoughts. He gets up and has a go. I mean, when he was doing that adrenaline junkie, he tried to shoot me.
No problem.
Do you need a tissue or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he was doing that adrenaline junkie, he climbed up Al Capitan in...
Oh, yeah.
And it's like 4,000 feet.
That's unbelievable.
Straight up. And I go, you know what? I'm a nutcase, but that's got to be crazy.
I'd be afraid to do anything like that.
I stood on a table, I'd get fucking vertigo. He'd call me up every night and he'd go, Dad, you know where I am now? I go, no, I'm just looking at the stars. I go, okay. I'm on a cradle bed or something. And what they would do, would nail these like spike things into the wall, rest of these like carts. I'm like, fuck that, man. You wake up and look down, it's like, death. But Sharon and I feel to get it when he descended back and down. And he was really happy to see us. It was a wonderful moment, you know.
Wow. Very cool.
Well, Ozzy, we know you have a show to do.
I do. I've got to get on. Nice talking to you, sir.
We really appreciate you.
Excellent. Ozzy, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
brain. Next up on episode 200 is the uncut Talking Metal on Fuse interview we did with Kerry King of Slayer out at Napa 29 in Southern California. But first, let's hear some Raining Blood.
Hanging down here at Napa 29 with Kerry King, a true innovator in metal. Kerry, it's an honor. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, man.
Kerry, you've given us so much great music through the years. The first time I saw you live was, it was either in 88 or 89, Orpheum Theater in Boston, Massachusetts, South of Heaven, and I was just blown away by the sheer power, by the Marshalls 3 or 4 high, and I had never seen anything like that before.
I'm trying to think of the Orpheum. Because there's so many places we played throughout time, and I remember the name, the Orpheum, but I don't remember that place.
Right, it was like a theater, kind of like almost
theaters,
like
theaters were fun, man. In those days, I loved playing theaters because generally they'd have an open floor,
right.
So kids can do what they want. Then you have the this level, that level.
Right, that's exactly.
They
the
can
kind
be wherever they want.
Was.
If you want to be in the mix, you can be in the mix. If you want to just chill and watch, you can do that.
It was an amazing show, and
kind of like felt for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except Felt Forum got destroyed. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Wasn't our fault. It was fun.
Kerry, I've never been this close to you. You know, I've seen you on stage. I've seen you in pictures. And your tattoo work is amazing, phenomenal. Is this all Paul Booth or other
this
artists?
This side's Paul Booth.
I love
and it. And Paul, he finished this dude. And then, you know, we just went on and on and on. And I'm on tour. And he goes to Europe and Japan. And,
right.
You know, we just can't get together as much as we'd like to. So the only one that was done was this one. But when he comes back and finishes everybody else, he might touch that guy up too, you know.
Yeah.
It'll just be a different look.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not on tour, so I haven't got my arm hair gone. That's like my warrior look when I'm on tour. Got to get rid of the hair because I got to show off the tats.
Oh, okay, cool. And do you just let him kind of go, or do you have a vision of
totally,
what you're looking?
I totally let him go.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome, beautiful stuff.
He's a sick freak.
And you know what I think is great is that these tats end up on the graphics on your guitars as well.
Mostly the tribal stuff,
right.
Because that's... It, we were talking about Bernie Rico earlier.
Right.
And Bernie Rico Jr., it was his idea to put the tribal, incorporate that into the guitars.
Very
it was
cool.
His idea, and kind of ran with it. And, you know, now all my BC Riches have that stuff. Now I've got stuff on Dunlop. I got a couple pedals. I got a strings coming out this January's NAMM show, and it's all got my hand tattoo on it.
Very cool.
So they ran like a little promotion, and that's that. The head.
Right, the head's the new Marshall head.
Yep. It's all, you know, it's kind of cool because people look at this, they think of me. You know, it's kind of right. like what the nails used to represent.
Right.
And yeah. I still wear those from time to time, but this has become what it is, and it's like every product I put out, it's got the tribal on it.
You were the first person to have, like, we all love the armbands with the spikes, you know, standard little pyramid spikes, but you had actual full-on nails coming out.
Yeah.
That's out of control. I think you were the first guy to do that.
That's a good story. We played a show, I believe it was the Roxy, and we never really hit Hollywood that much, but we were playing with, it was us, it was Bitch, I know for a fact, I would imagine Savage Grace and somebody cool. else, but Bitch, they had a bass player, and he came out with like leg gauntlets and arm gauntlets, and the funny thing is, I didn't even know the dude, you know, he was an acquaintance. I debuted the nails that day. He debuted all those that day. His were like that big.
Right. And but yours were like...
Mine are like 2.5 like inches. Spikes. It was huge. Right. And, you know, it was kind of like the how I describe what we do in Slayer. It's like riding the line between incredibly heavy and ridiculous. And right. you got to know what that line is. Because a lot of bands go over that line in their music, in their tempo, whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I at that point, there was a 2.5-inch nail, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. You know, if I go any bigger, it's kind of ridiculous, so I don't want to do it.
Right.
And that's when I debuted that. He had these things, and I just killed him in a 1-2 punch without even thinking about it.
Right.
And he was, I don't even know what he thought about it. Didn't talk to him, you know. At that point, LA bands, OC bands, we weren't best of friends, but... it's funny that I debuted mine and he debuted his, and I just stomped all over him.
Yeah, because yours were just like 3 times the size.
Yeah, you know, I just went for the limit, and I thought, right. that's the limit.
And you can only wear that on the left hand, mm-hmm. the left arm, right? Because on the other arm, it'll destroy your guitar.
Yeah, and even though in the early days I wore it for most of the set, now you'll see it like first 2 songs, you might see it as an encore, because we're playing more intricate stuff, and my tendons don't like being wrapped up.
Right.
I
right.
found that out.
Which is in the last fact, 10 years. People get tendonitis from wearing too much.
Yeah, in the last 10 years, I found that out. Like that. So I'll wear a couple, like, if we open with Disciple, I'll wear it. If we don't play anything after, that's cool because I can take it off. But then if we do anything intricate, I can't do it. So, you know, people say, hey, why don't you wear the nails all the time? It's like, well, you know, we're playing harder stuff than we did back then, and it
right.
can't happen.
Absolutely.
Now, when you go back to your younger days, like, late 70s, early 80s, what were some of the metal bands that helped form who you are? Like, was Saxon or UFO or even Maiden influential on...
I was really into UFO.
Yeah.
Michael Schenker, I mean, I don't have a bad word in my mouth about Michael Schenker. He's... I don't care what crappy music he's put out, he's a god. Right. He's a god. Awesome.
Right.
Van Halen.
You know, I saw Van Halen probably 6 times on their first 3 albums.
Wow.
And then after that, I never saw him again because Eddie quit being Eddie. You know, that's kind of a bad thing to say. But realistically, he wasn't doing I'm the One. He wasn't doing Eruption. Even though he played it live, the albums didn't have it. You know, mm-hmm. they became more of a pop band.
Right.
And I don't want people to think I don't like Van Halen. I fucking love Van Halen. But when they became a pop band, I didn't care. And the funny thing is, my first introduction to Judas Priest was probably on being an L.A. boy, KMET or KLOS.
All right.
So that would have meant Breaking the Law or Living After Midnight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, couple guitars, that's cool. I was coming on my guitar. I'm like, couple guitars, that's awesome. Singer's badass. And then you buy the record and you're like, but there's all these other songs that kill those two.
Yeah, definitely.
But that was my introduction.
Sure.
You know, and then... next time they came through town was on Point of Entry.
Great record, too.
It kind of odd in traditional Priest fashion. It was what do you want to say, more bluesy, maybe? It wasn't just full-blown metal, like I expected. And I went and saw him play, and Maiden opened for him.
Oh, okay, right.
And I'm sorry, Rob. I'm sorry, Glenn. Sorry, KK. Iron Maiden kicked the shit out of you that tour.
And was that with Paul Di'Anno?
Was that it was. It was my first introduction to Maiden. Okay. And it was ridiculous. They were so good. And Priest was good too, but it just wasn't traditional Priest, you know.
And what are some of your favorite songs off that Killers record?
Oh man, Killers.
I always like Murders in the Rue Morgue. It's a great one.
We used to play the intro to Rue Morgue.
Yeah.
You know, we never play it live because just, you know, we might have played that live, actually. That's a long time ago. Murders in the Rue Morgue, awesome. Killers. I'm trying to think of what's
Wrathchild.
On
there.
Drifter. Of course Wrathchild.
Is on there.
But, I mean, beyond that one, when Bruce got in the band, Number of the Beast, which is my last favorite Maiden record, because after that, it became too Maiden-y. You know what I mean?
Right.
But with Number of the Beast, man, Hallowed Be Thy Name is probably one of the best songs they ever wrote. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, and we got to talk about Tony Iommi, too.
Right. That's my next question was, we're all fans at Sabbath, and I know you always loved Iommi. What are some of your great Iommi stories?
Well, it just happened this last summer when I went to do Music Live in Birmingham, signed for Marshall a couple days, and the Classic Rock Awards were the Monday. I was supposed to go home that day. And my friends at Metal Hammer said, you know, if you want to, you know, see the awards, you know, we'd love to have you there. And I went, well, yeah, I'd like to go home. Yeah, everybody wants to go home when they're overseas.
Right.
And they said, well, all right, how about if you present an award to Tony? And I went,
wow, like what an honor to do that.
What line do I got to get into to do that, you know?
Right.
So I get there, and, you know, I've done Guitar Abuse where I talk to fans, you know, I can talk it on a mic. I can do that now. I can talk in front of cameras, whatever. But I sat down at that table, and I started seeing these superstars come in, you know, whether you like them or not. I mean, Steven Tyler, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, all of Heaven and Hell,
wow.
Joe Elliott.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, they started out heavier, and they went more rock.
Right.
But I was just like, man, I'm out of my element here. I've done a billion metal shows, and I can do this. But I see all these people. I see them coming in, and I'm just shaking at the table. I'm like, I'm going to give one of my heroes an award. And I knew when it was coming up. It was two awards away, and I'm just sitting at the table like, I said, pour me two shots right now. Because we had, for some reason, we had Jaeger on the table. Imagine that. And I'm like, pour me two shots right now. I got to calm down. I was just so amped to do it. So I went up there, and I had notes what I wanted to say, what I wanted to address. And I just kind of winged it. I went up there. I didn't have paper in my hands, in my pocket. And I'm just looking at these people going, man, how am I going to wow these guys? Because they've seen it all.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if I wowed them, but apparently I did good because Jimmy Page told me I did. And I never met Jimmy Page. I'm like, wow, that's cool, dude. Thanks. So Tony Iommi got the Metal Guru Award at the Classic Rock Awards. And the other ironic thing is it was the only one presented by or sponsored by Jägermeister.
Cool.
So that gave me my first in. I'm like, well, it's kind of ironic and appropriate that I'm giving this award because it's the only one sponsored by Jägermeister. And all the fans at Jägermeister are like, ah. You know, and then I get into doing the Tony Iommi thing and whatever I said, I still want to see it because, you know, I winged it. Knew what right. I kind of wanted to say. But first thing Tony said when he got on the mic, he's like, wow, I'm embarrassed.
Man.
I'm like, I wasn't trying to embarrass you, dude. I'm stoked about it.
Right.
Right.
But that was my big Tony Iommi story because for the longest time, we did Ozfest, what was it, 99? When that was like the Sabbath reunion, the big one that toured all over America. I'm like, I'm so happy to be a part of that because I think that's important. I think it's awesome.
Right.
And I couldn't talk to Tony. He was the last dude. I got Tipton, I got KK, got them down. I take him to the bar, get him drunk, send him home. But Tony, man, he still had that effect on me. And after the 04 Ozfest, I got a little bit better. But finally handing him an award, and after being so amped, you know, he's just a boy now.
Well, see, cool. You had mentioned that these guys were people that you considered like up on a pedestal, but to Mark and I, you're one of those guys.
Well, I know I hear about that from a lot of younger bands, from a lot of people that have followed our career, and of course I'm appreciative. I think that's cool, to even be mentioned in the same breath as those guys. But, I mean, those guys are still that much bigger than me, to me.
Cool. And, then, and when you look at Iommi's career, like, what eras do you like? The, I'm sure you like the Ozzy era, but how about the Dio era?
Love the Ozzy. I love the Dio era, man, because I saw them when they're called Heaven and Hell. I mean, realistically, they're Black Sabbath to
right.
me.
Right. To me, too. Yeah.
To everybody, to them, they probably are.
Right.
You know, but for some reason, they can't call it that. But I saw Heaven and Hell at Irvine Meadows, wherever the hell they call that now. But we were there, and man, and oh, I got to tell you something that humbled me incredibly. We played Holland this last summer doing festivals, and Heaven and Hell opened for us.
Wow.
That's how that big
cool.
we are in Holland.
Wow.
That's.
But let me put it in perspective. When the band's on before me, I'm usually warming up.
Right.
So, you know, if I don't care about you or whatever, I won't even be on stage.
Right.
But I got my guitar on. I'm standing on stage left, warming up, watching Heaven and Hell.
Right. It's cool. It's almost like being on stage
it
with
was,
Heaven and
it
Hell.
It was ominous. Dio sounds like the record every day. It's incredible.
Did you like the record they did with Ian Gillan, Born Again?
I thought that one was okay.
Yeah.
Not my favorite.
Not your favorite, right.
I think the Dio era, all of them are better. Dio is such a powerful singer, man. And I realized that it was, like I said, Holland. But it was, I thought it was an injustice. Even I don't care how big we are in Holland. I thought it was an injustice that they were in front of us.
Hmm. You know, you're right. The Dio is spot on all the time. And I noticed that when we saw Heaven and Hell, the first U.S. date, which was at Radio City Music Hall in New York. And
he takes full-on pride in what he does.
Right.
And that's what this is about. If you don't take pride in what you do, get out. Why are you wasting my time?
Right.
And he impressed the hell out of me because I hadn't seen him in probably 10 years.
Man.
It was awesome.
Can you see Slayer doing it that far into the future?
Yeah, I mean, Dio's in his 60s now. You
know, I know. Yeah. I know. I can't. And I've said it a million times. When you go see Sabbath, they're Sabbath. You know, Tony has stood there for 30 years. He's never been different. So if he doesn't move around on stage, nothing's different than what it was 30 years ago. Right. Now, if we stopped headbanging and stopped, I mean, I don't run across the stage anymore. I think it's kind of silly when people do that. I mean, Maiden even still do that, but they always did. If the intensity of our performance fell out of what we could actually pull off, then I wouldn't want to do it because we've always been known for that.
But I'm sure
so I can't see it 60 years old. I can't see myself doing that.
But still doing music of sorts. I mean, would you do a Could solo
be.
Record ever? Or
no, I got too many friends in the business, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, before Dime passed away, we talked about doing stuff.
I remember hearing that you were going to do maybe a Edgar Winters cover.
No, we were going to do... this is, you know, the real deal. I talked to Dime about this. We're going to do Snorting Whiskey and Drinking Cocaine.
Right. Very cool.
That would have been
awesome. Zach
was going to
be involved with that or something?
Well, that was a different tangent.
Okay.
We were going to do like a Metal G3.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
That would
have
been great.
You know, that never really got past, you know, just, you know, whispering in the corner here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But me and Dime were actually going to do Snorting Whiskey when they did the Damage Plan record. And they had some press going on, so it kind of had them full,
right?
You know, and he's like, hey, come out tomorrow, we can do this. I'm like, no, dude, we got forever to do this. I'm not in a hurry. And I was wrong.
Wow.
There have been a number of these G3 tours through the years. Are you a fan of guys like Satriani or Eric Johnson?
I think they're phenomenal players, and I would love to go see it. I've just never been in a city where I had a day off or at home when I had a day off when it was coming through. I would love to watch that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, those are like incredible guitar players, you know?
Right, sure, sure.
It's like when I went and saw Ozzy a couple weeks ago at Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie's a friend of mine. They were opening, so I went and hung with them. But I'll go watch Zach play guitar for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
8 days a week.
Amazing player. John Five, who's playing with Zombie, is very, very good.
You know, I got to say, no offense to John Five. When I went to that show, I turned around because my booking agent was standing at the soundboard with me, who does them as well. And I'm like, his name's John. I'm like, John, where's the guitar? They were playing More Human Than Human.
Right.
My phone, sorry, guys.
That's a great ring.
Well, it's the only one I can hear on this phone. Should have turned that off earlier.
No problem.
So I'm looking at John Dittmar, and I'm like, dude, where's the guitar? They're doing More Human Than Human.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
you
like,
can't hear it.
And he's playing Marshall.
Wow.
And I called Nick Bocott the next day, and I went, dude, is he still playing Marshall? Because I couldn't hear this riff, and that's a big riff.
Right.
Well, as big as a riff as you can get with Rob Zombie.
And what, was just low in the mix?
It was, well, where I was standing, it was a lot of drums and Rob, which is what Rob likes, and right. That's
wow.
Cool.
You know, back to Dimebag and Pantera, any great memories, which I'm sure there are, from the Reinventing the Steel tour?
No, we did Extreme Steel.
Wow.
That was our tour. Reinventing the Steel. Actually, the real Steel tour was Pantera and Soulfly, I believe.
Okay. Where's Mike?
I think so. Yeah. I think so, because they came up to Van...
Soulfly, and then the second leg was Morbid Angel and Static
X. Oh, and there was a band called Slayer.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Fuck you!
No! 2 weeks of shows was the most amazing of my life.
But what he
said real was, the real Steel tour was Soulfly, and we were recording in Vancouver. We were recording God Hates Us All. And, you know, Dime would always say, hey, King, come on, play Hostile. We always did. If they came to town and I was anywhere near them, I would go up and stage play Hostile with them. So I went down and I played Hostile. And I think at that point, when did, so that was the last one, right? Reinventing Steel? There wasn't one after that.
Yeah.
I'm right.
Europe, and 9/11 happened.
Well, yeah. Well, that was later, but... So I'm playing Hostile, of course, and going up on stage and doing Goddamn Electric.
Cool.
No.
That was fun. That was something.
Did you know that Phil had a road case that was, like, right next to you that said, like, Phil's spot, and he watched you guys, like, pretty much every night on the side of the stage?
I would see him from time to time, but I didn't see the road case.
Right. But, yeah, he loved you guys.
I mean,
that
me
much
and the, me
did.
And those guys go back before Cowboys from Hell.
Wow. When did you first meet those guys, Bill?
Probably Power Metal. Had to be Power Metal.
Wow.
But Power Metal was Phil's first band, so... not Phil's first contribution to Pantera. So after the hair went away,
right.
That's when they became Cowboys from Hell.
Right.
And, you know, maybe hanging out with, I remember it was me and Tom at this bar they played, and they talked me into playing Raining Blood with them for some reason.
Wow.
And totally not my style at that point, even today. But I'm like, these guys are cool, I'm going to do it. And they left out the part that they changed the song a little bit.
Oh, no.
So I'm standing out there holding my cock going...
And it's
my
your song.
Song.
Yeah, it's your song. And then you look like the one that doesn't know the song.
Yeah.
But it's your song.
Yeah. Oh,
that's funny.
When you're touring with, I guess you could say, more recent bands like Lamb of God and Children of Bodom and Mastodon on the Unholy Alliance tour, are these bands that you guys handpick to join you, or is that done by somebody else?
Well, there'll be like a pool of bands, you know. And this one, there was those few and maybe a couple others. And can't remember who they were, but ones I didn't think were as strong. You know, I'm really glad I got to be on tour here and in Europe with Children of Bodom, because Alexi is a fucking sick guitar player.
Yeah.
And I would go out every day and try to watch him and Yanné, the keyboard player, play together. It reminded me of Blackmore and whoever the keyboard player was in Deep Purple and Rainbow. They played so well together. That's how Alexi and Yanné play together. It's
Yanné's
awesome.
Parts sound like lead guitar to me. Like,
yeah,
he plays
and he'll sit there, and I hate this motherfucker for this. He'll sit there, he'll be playing with his hand and swigging a beer.
Wow.
And just ripping it up on keyboard.
Insane.
Yeah.
Especially with the left hand.
Yeah, he's just ripping it on the keyboard, swigging a Heineken. Yeah, I'm so cool. I'm like, hey, you are cool. I wish I could do that.
John Lord, I think. Wasn't he the keyboard?
Yeah, John
Lord. That's what somebody told me the other day.
Right,
John Lord.
John Lord. Right.
I couldn't remember the name. But that's what they remind me of.
Yeah, they have a new record coming out there.
I can't wait.
Now,
yeah. We were talking about awards before. What do you think of award shows like the Grammys?
Well, you have a Grammy.
We got a Grammy last year. We're up for a Grammy this year, which is kind of odd. But... last year when I was talking about it, I wasn't informed and I said some wrong info. This year, you know, I'm voting because I finally... I don't know how all the elders vote, but Once you're nominated for a Grammy, you're allowed to vote for Grammys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, cool.
But you got to pay for it.
You have to pay to vote.
You have to pay to be a member. So I paid that last year. I went, okay, I'm going to do this. So now I understand. So when I go, I just got that thing in the mail like 5 days ago for this year's Grammys. And what I found out, you go on, you can only vote for 9 or 10 that are in your kind of realm of what you're doing.
Okay.
So I always thought everybody could vote for everyone. And I thought that, you know, people that don't know anything about metal are voting for Slayer because we're a household name. We've been around forever. But I guess you can only vote for your genre.
That's interesting. Huh?
So, yeah, I just learned that. Yeah.
So it actually makes it more credible than any of us ever
thought it was. More than I thought it was.
Right.
So you're voting this year, but you're also up for a Grammy. So will you vote for yourself?
Why wouldn't I?
I would vote for myself, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I wanted to talk about Christ Illusion, and I'm pretty psyched, and I didn't know about this, that the limited edition has a DVD and then, like, some bonus stuff. Like, how did you guys decide to put that out?
Well, it went to a different record company for one, our distributor. So we had to, it's got the extra song that we didn't finish on the original one, Final Six.
Right.
That's the one that's up for the Grammy. It's got Eyes of the Insane video. It's got behind the scenes from either Florida or Australia or something or both. Can't remember. Because I watched it once and I'm like, yeah, I lived that. Don't care.
Right.
You know, but to fans, it's great.
Right.
But that's my life. I've been there. So, you know, it's cool. It's got the lenticular cover of the hand.
Right, where you can kind of turn it and it changes.
It's got the stigmata on the hand. Right. It's awesome. And when they brought that up, I'm like, this is going to be horrible. It's going to look like shit. But
it looks looking cool.
Awesome.
I gotta check it out.
It looks awesome.
I was wondering what the like the background for the song Cult was.
Well,
yeah, no, I know the background, but how did you like?
It's like you're in my neighborhood now. It's like being here. This is, to me, it's like a little isolated Bible Belt because there's so many people here that have, I don't even know if you know what I'm talking about. Not of this world.
No, I do now. Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Here, it's
in this
huge
area, in Orange County.
It's huge, man. Not of this world. So I've already got spoofs of that for my T-shirt company. It's going to come out whenever I resurrect that, but. Just seeing all this stuff and thinking to myself, now if I went out and said, if I had a big window sticker on the back of my car that said atheist, who's going to get their car keyed?
Right. Right. You.
By the Christian Brotherhood, because I don't believe what they believe. So that's when I started thinking, you know, it's like the biggest cult in the world, and that kind of worked itself into the song. But it was living here, seeing the billboards, you know,
like
God wants you to do this. God says do this. I'm like, no, that's not what God tells me. God hates me because I'm sitting in traffic. If God loved me, I would have like a super Kerry King lane that went on its own. Everybody would have one. You know what I mean? So it just, you know, I take a perspective and I just magnify it ridiculously. And that's where I got that song.
Is that how you got the inspiration for the title God Hates Us All from that?
I think I got that off a billboard that said, I can't remember what it was about, and I think it said something about, you know, at the end said, remember, God loves you all. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. God hates me. My life's not perfect.
Except for Kerry King, the atheist.
My life's not perfect, you know, and I turned that into everybody, not just me, because if I said it about me, that's kind of like, I'll never write a song like that. You know, I want it to incorporate and be valuable to everyone. So everyone's like me, you know. You see me after a show, you see me here, you know, I'm hanging with you guys. You see me after a show, I'm hanging with the fans. Unless we're in like an arena and they can't get to us.
Right.
But, you know, I'm just like them. I just met three guys that made me better.
Cool.
Do you follow politics much, and are you worried about these guys like Huckabee and stuff? It seems to be
Man, I stay out of politics like the plague.
Yeah.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
He's
You know why? Because everyone in Europe, that's all they want to talk about.
American politics.
And I found that out 10 years ago. And I didn't know then. So now I just, on my own, just stay away from it because I don't want to get into these conversations. I'm like, you want to talk music? You want to talk whatever we're doing? That's cool. You want to talk politics? Talk to a politician.
Sure. How about, speaking of music, black metal? A lot of violent acts, a lot of kind of extreme bands coming out of places like Norway and Sweden.
The violent acts are very odd. And I know you can pretty directly link that to us.
Well,
because they had to come from somewhere.
A lot of them cite Slayer as an influence.
Slayer, Venom. But, you know, when Slayer came around, it was about playing a gig. At that point when we came out, I wasn't drinking, but my boys were drinking. So it was like, you know, drinking and playing a gig and having fun. You know, it wasn't about taking the life of a band that's our nemesis so I can be stronger because of it. I mean, it's a very, what do you want to say, linked to, that's the word I'm looking for. It's a very old idea, you know what I mean? You know, and to me, it's like, hey, I'm playing a band, I'm having fun. Much as I hate people in the business, I'm not going to take their life. I mean, for one, I'll be in jail, that sucks.
Right.
For two, it doesn't make me better, you know, makes me a killer, actually. So, you know, it's just a different vibe, I think.
I think maybe, like, two more questions.
Oh, okay.
I got one about just, like, writing. Is that cool?
Yeah, go for it, John.
Now, when you're on the road, do you do any songwriting?
99% no. Because when I'm on when I'm on the road, it's pretty much a party.
Cool. I like that.
And, you know, all my opening bands are welcome to be there, too. And usually they know that. Sometimes it takes some prying to get them in there. But it's like, come on, man.
Wow.
But I think now I do want to write more on the road because I know we don't have as big a window as we did 10 years ago. So, you know, I think about that. And I do. I know I have, like I just told you, I got 6 months off before I go on the road again. I got to work on something, make something happen.
You guys plan to do some writing, then go on the road, and then go back in and record after that, like the next stint?
It depends. I can't imagine recording before we go on the road, because that's too quick.
Too quick, right.
And we don't have, I don't have the ideas. I haven't talked to Jeff in 3 months, so I don't know what he's got. But, you know, typical Slayer style isn't to do that. But if we get killer ideas before we go out in July, we go out in July, play a little bit, come home for a month, go back to Europe again, play again, and, you know, just stomach what we have. Maybe after that, we can record before we come back to the States.
And I just think it's really cool that you, Jeff, and Tom, and even to an extent that Dave, just have stayed together this long. You know, what do you credit that to?
I've seen a lot of bands that get too full of themselves, split up, and to me the only thing I see is you take away from the whole, everything's less. And although me and Jeff have fought over the years, still one of my best friends, me and Tom have fought over the years, still my lead singer, one of my best friends,
right?
We make each other better. And even though I got a million friends in the business, million guys want to play with me, I want to play, you know, be a part of what they're doing, but my first thing I got to do is Slayer, and that still takes all my time.
Great. It's a great attitude.
And we can edit this out if you don't want to talk about it yet, but you are launching a new website soon?
Oh, the Snake website.
I don't know. You mentioned to us at the bowling alley you're going to be doing a new website. So,
Man, I got a lot of websites.
Yeah. All right.
I got the Reptiles, which we'll see in a moment.
The other one
was my T-shirt one.
Okay.
I've had that forever, but last couple of years I've been paying attention to Slayer, so that site went away because all my time went to Slayer. But we are going to do it again, KFK Ministries. We got great ideas. It's going to be fun, hateful shirts that you expect me to make and you'd love to wear. And, you know, I'm home until July, so before then it probably will come out again.
Excellent. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us. And
two more questions. when you guys do Raining Blood, have there been any like small tap-ish mishaps that you kind of like laughed about afterwards, or
like on the
in
DVD
the show, like
when we're doing the blood?
Yeah.
Or just a song?
When the blood's coming.
Well, that was only that one tour.
Mm-hmm.
We did it as a one-off for the DVD on Ozfest 2004, Slayer Slipknot show in, where was that, Maine? And that was a one-off, so there was no dress rehearsal, there was no anything. It either works or it doesn't, and it did, and it was awesome. And then we wanted to take it out for the Jaeger tour in 2004, and the people that did the original one priced themselves way out of the equation. We're like, we're not using it as like six times. We're using it for a week. We can't play six times what it costs that day. You know, you're going on tour, and this has to be it. And they didn't get it, so we had to devise a different way to do it because we wanted to do it for Jaeger, second U.S. Jaeger tour in a row. And you know, it was hit and miss. It was good some nights. It wasn't good other nights. Some nights we didn't do it because maybe Tom was sick, maybe I was sick, but it was fun. But mishaps, the video, absolutely, because when it goes dark for Rain and Blood, we had X to go to, and there's this bucket of thick blood stuff that was supposed to land on us. And it did, and I felt it, and I went, maybe this ain't the best for my guitar, you know? Maybe it's the strings aren't even going to work, I don't know. So I got out of it, and I thought at the end of that night that I would have to go redo every guitar thing I did for that song. And I didn't.
Wow.
I thought I was struggling because that stuff was like oil. It was like WD-40 on my neck. And I just thought it sucked, but it was actually pretty good. I didn't overdub anything.
Great.
Cool. And then last one. You guys are like one of the forefathers of thrash. Are there any bands that you see around, you know, more recently in this decade that you think are doing the thrash thing well?
Well, I like Demiricus is a band on Metal Blade. I like their first album. Second one I enjoy, but I don't like as much as the first one, but they're trying to be something different. I understand that. Chimera, they're good friends of mine. Got great records. The presence of them on stage reminds me of us around our first or second record. Who else? I mean, I may have the timeline wrong, but Anymore, Arch Enemy, they're ruling with Angela. It's great. It's phenomenal. In Flames. Yeah. In Flames is badass. Machine Head, last two records. Where'd they come back from? It's ridiculous how good they are. And I know we'll be touring with them end of 08, beginning of 09, because they're just doing everything right. And it's awesome.
All right. Great. Good. Can we get a talking metal ID?
Hey, this is Kerry King from Slayer, and you're watching Talking Metal on Fuse.
Second coming arrives before you.
that was south of heaven down to the core of the earth in hell with Slayer.
Wow.
Way south of heaven.
The core of the earth. Okay, man. Let's get out of here, dude.
Thank you guys for listening to the 200th episode of Talking Metal. Pick out a random metal tune from your iPod.
Let's see here. This is Zimmer's Hole. It's Devin Townsend is behind this.
Excellent.
And this is called We Rule the Effin' Land. The deal is John and I are trying not to curse, but we allow our guests to curse, and our music can also contain curse words.
Correct.
And that's for the time being. We will be back with full cursing. Full
cursing and wackiness.
F word, C word, you name it. It'll be it'll be appearing here on Talking Metal, the
Let's
podcast.
Let's do one more Talking Metal toast to the 200th episode of Talking Metal.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Zimmer's Hole.
Thank you guys. GoDaddy.com. Let's go.